All right, let's dive into a case that's got everyone buzzing, Phillips versus General Motors. It all starts with a truly awful tragedy. A family, the Byrds, they lose their lives in a pickup truck accident. And naturally, their family, they sue GM, claiming, you know, the truck had some kind of design flaw. But, and this is where it gets interesting, this isn't just like your average product liability case. It kind of spirals into this huge legal battle over what the public has the right to know, especially when it comes to, you know, information that's tucked away in these sealed settlements.
You're right. We're talking about data that could be crucial, stuff that could reveal patterns, risks, maybe even shine a light on corporate accountability. And it's all hidden from public view.
And that's where the Los Angeles Times, they jump into the fray. They're not just like reporting on the lawsuit. They're actually demanding access to these sealed secrets, right? Fighting for the idea that the public deserves to know what's in those settlements. So we're going to break it all down. The legal arguments, the court decisions, and what it all means for future cases. It's a deep dive into the world of public access versus corporate secrecy. And trust me, it gets pretty complicated.
It really does. This case, it really brings that complexity into focus. So at the center of this whole thing, we've got the Byrd family, Daryl, Angela, and their two sons. They all died in this horrific pickup truck accident. And their estate, they sued GM, alleging that a defect in their CK pickup truck, that's what caused the accident.
Okay, so we have this devastating accident and then the lawsuit.
Yeah.
What happens next?
Well, before things really get going, both sides, they agree to a share protective order. It's pretty standard, really. A way to protect, you know, sensitive info during the discovery process. We're talking about things like sales forecasts, internal memos, that kind of stuff. But here's the twist. This protective order, it also covered any settlement data that GM had to hand over.
So even though this information could be super helpful, you know, for other people, maybe building stronger cases against GM, it would still be kept secret from the public.
Yeah, exactly. They could share it with, like, other people suing over similar cases, but not the general public.
Gotcha. So the case moves forward, and during discovery, the plaintiff's lawyers, they ask for data on past GM settlements involving these CK pickup trucks. I mean, makes sense, right? They're trying to see if there's some kind of a pattern, if GM knew about these potential safety problems.
Absolutely. And the judge, seeing how this info could be relevant, orders GM to give it up. But because of that protective order, the settlement data, it had to be given under seal. You know, kept confidential, at least for now.
Then the case is settled, the lawsuit dismissed. You'd think that's it, end of story. But that's when the Los Angeles Times gets involved, and things take this totally unexpected turn.
That's right. They file this motion to intervene, asking the court to unseal that settlement data. Their argument is that the public has a right to know what went down in those other cases. It's a bold move that, you know, highlights this tension, that core tension between corporate interests and the public's right to know.
So we have GM, they're arguing for confidentiality, wanting to protect their, you know, trade secrets and all that sensitive business info. And on the other side, we have the media representing, you know, by extension, the public, pushing for transparency.
Exactly. It's that classic battle. And in this initial round, the lower court, they sided with the LA Times. They lifted the protective order, basing it on the idea of the common law right of public access to court records. It's basically the idea that in a democracy, people should be able to scrutinize the legal process, you know, understand how decisions are made, and hold both corporations and the courts accountable.
So, score one for transparency, right?
Well, not quite. GM, they weren't too happy with that outcome. So, they appealed, sending the case up to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And that's where things get even more, you know, interesting.
Ooh, I knew there had to be another twist. Okay, so what did the Ninth Circuit have to say about all this? Let's find out in part two.
All right, so we're back, and we're picking up right where we left off in our deep dive into Phillips versus General Motors. And now the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, they're taking center stage. They decided to take a closer look after GM appealed the lower court's decision to unseal those confidential settlement documents.
Right, right. So the Ninth Circuit steps in. What was their take on all this?
Well, they basically said that the lower court had jumped the gun a bit, hadn't really followed the proper procedures when they lifted that protective order. And specifically, they zeroed in on this thing called the good cause standard, which is outlined in Rule 26C of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure.
Okay. I'm pretty sure most of our listeners, being lawyers and law students themselves, are familiar with Rule 26C. But for those who might need a refresher, could you give us a quick breakdown? What does this whole good cause standard actually mean?
Of course. Rule 26C, it gives courts the power to issue these things called protective orders. They're basically safeguards, right? To prevent parties in a lawsuit from being subjected to, well, things like annoyance, embarrassment, oppression, or even undue burden during the whole discovery process.
So it's kind of like a shield protecting parties from being unfairly forced to reveal sensitive information.
Exactly. But here's the thing, the key. To get this protection, the party that's asking for the protective order, they got to show good cause. They have to prove that there's this real and specific risk of harm if the information in question is actually disclosed.
So you can't just go around saying, hey, this is confidential, keep it a secret. You have to actually show that there are going to be some real negative consequences if it gets out.
You got it. And this is where the Ninth Circuit said the lower court messed up. They didn't make GM prove their case enough, you know, really push them to show with evidence how releasing that settlement data would hurt them.
So the Ninth Circuit was basically saying, look, we need more than your word for it, GM.
Yeah.
You've got to prove with specifics that releasing this information is really going to cause you harm.
Right. And they also made this other interesting point. They pointed out that this whole concept of public access to court records, it's more complex than it might seem. They drew a distinction between documents that are related to dispositive motions versus non-dispositive motions.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there. Those are some pretty technical legal terms. Could you break down what those are for our listeners who may not be familiar?
Sure. Think of it this way. Dispositive motions, they're the ones that directly resolve a case, or at least a big part of it, like a motion for summary judgment, for example. There's this strong presumption that the public, they should be able to access documents that are tied to these motions. It's all about transparency, right? So people can understand how the case was decided.
So if the settlement data had been like attached to a motion for summary judgment, the LA Times might have had a stronger argument for public access.
Exactly. But in this case, the sealed settlement data, it was actually connected to a motion for discovery sanctions. So that's a request to basically punish GM for not handing over the information in the first place. And that's considered a non-dispositive motion, which means it doesn't actually decide the case itself.
So what the Ninth Circuit was saying is that the public's right to access information, it's weaker when it comes to these non-dispositive motions.
Precisely. And that's something really crucial for anyone who's working with legal cases. The type of motion that you attach sealed information to, it can really impact whether or not you're going to be able to keep it confidential.
So it's like a strategic move. Mm-hmm. If you want to keep something secret, maybe think twice before attaching it to a non-dispositive motion.
Exactly. It's all about thinking ahead, you know, strategizing. Now, the Ninth Circuit, they didn't completely shut down the LA Times. They actually sent the case back to the lower court with these instructions to properly apply the good cause standard this time around. So GM, they would get another shot to argue for keeping those settlements sealed.
So it wasn't a total win for either side, but it definitely highlights how tough it is to find that right balance between corporate confidentiality and the public's right to know.
Absolutely. It's a real balancing act. In this case, it really puts that struggle on full display.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground, but there are still some really important takeaways here for lawyers and law students, especially if they find themselves in a similar situation down the line. We'll be back in part three to explore what we can all learn from this case and what it means for the future of litigation. And we're back for the final part of our deep dive into Phillips versus General Motors. We've been talking about sealed settlements, protective orders, and that constant tug of war between keeping things confidential and the public's right to know.
It has been quite the journey. And you know, it's really interesting. This case, it's not just some abstract legal problem, you know. It has real-world consequences, especially for those in the legal field, like lawyers and law students who are trying to figure out this whole world of discovery and how to protect their clients.
So let's talk practical stuff. What are the big lessons that lawyers should be taking away from this case?
The biggest one, I think, is that you have to be super thorough and strategic when you're asking for those protective orders. Remember what the Ninth Circuit said. You can't just rely on vague concerns or hypotheticals. You need hard evidence.
So no more just saying, well, we're worried someone might misuse this information.
Right, exactly. You need to show specific harm that's actually likely to happen if the information gets out. Think of it like building a case, right? You need evidence to back up your argument. Like if it's about trade secrets, maybe show that a competitor is actually trying to steal them and that disclosing them would give that competitor a real advantage.
So it's all about being prepared and anticipating those challenges, making sure you can back up what you're saying with proof.
Yeah, and like we talked about before, another key takeaway is that you have to be smart about which type of motion you attach sealed information to. If you attach it to a non-dispositive motion, it might be easier to keep it confidential.
It's like a pro tip for lawyers. Choose your motions wisely. This case is a good reminder that protective orders aren't a given, right? Courts are looking at those requests much more closely now, and they're asking for more justification.
Absolutely. And honestly, I think that's a good thing. It makes sure confidentiality is being used the right way and that the public's right to know isn't being ignored. It's about finding that balance.
Right. Finding that balance between protecting what needs to be kept private and making sure our legal system is transparent.
Exactly. Now, here's a question for our listeners. What if GM had actually given that concrete evidence of harm? Like, what if they could really prove that releasing that settlement data would lead to competitors taking advantage, causing them to lose money or damage their reputation, would the case have turned out differently?
That's a really good question. And it gets to the heart of this whole thing about transparency versus confidentiality. It's a complex issue with no easy answers, and it's something we all need to think about as we work within the legal world. And on that note, we've reached the end of our deep dive into Phillips versus General Motors.
We hope exploring all this, the sealed settlements, the protective orders, and the fight over public access, has given you some valuable insights and things to consider. Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.